Aisha, and I'm a former host of Mocha Single Mothers by Choice, or SMCs. Like you, as an SMC, I decided to become a mother knowing I'd be the sole care provider and parent for my children, at least at the outset. The Mocha stood for Black, so I'm using the word Black, and I'll be discussing being a single mother by choice from a Black woman's lens. You'll connect with all the interesting and fun things about this non-traditional path, like discussing which sperm to use and some hard truths about fertility and the realities of dating as a single mother who doesn't have a co-parent to rely on occasionally, and what it's actually like to parent as an S&C. This is the Black Single Mothers by Choice podcast.
I am overwhelmed, and I think that it's going to be a natural kind of point of overwhelm that most SMCs will reach, right? It's the transition into school, and not just school that's like kindergarten school. This is schools where there is an intersection of your kid's personality, your parenting style, the school, the administration, and all that entails, as well as other people's children influencing your kid. And so I think it's like all things align, and it seems to be happening with the second grade, because I think that's where the ante gets raised in terms of academics, behavior, and social dynamics. And I've got it all. And on top of that, then I've got two kids at two stages developmentally. I'm also thinking about career choice and career options. I think that there is a lot that is going on right now in this period that is just causing a peaked type of anxiety. But one great thing that came out of this is that I found a therapist. And so now Yay. I've had two sessions with a therapist. And so I think that's going to help, because without having a second parent, there's not a whole lot of strategizing that you can do with yourself, because sometimes you might be the problem, and having a single perspective is not always going to help you, but having a safe space to talk through, to vent, and to get solutions and coping tools and mechanisms, I think is going to be a great help. I will agree with you. I think some research out there that's starting to come out is starting to say that our neural pathways have been changed by the pandemic, right? It could be similar to the way we have trauma responses and how that changes us at a molecular level, things like that. I am also seeing some signs in my almost three-year-old that pandemic life could be playing a factor. And I think I try to separate out what is developmentally appropriate and what is not. And we have recently opened back up our preschool classroom, and parents are allowed in to take their kids in with masks. Prior to this past 2 weeks, we would drop the kids off at the door. Administration will take a group of kids to their class. So now I have a two-year-old who is super independent. I can do everything. She can put her pants on backwards. She can put her shoes on the wrong feet. She can do everything herself, which I love. And how this now plays in is that when I drop her off at school, I get ready to walk her in, and she has a meltdown because that's not how we do things. Mommy stays outside. I will walk in. And so then she calls the administrator to come get her. So that is pandemic. But she knows them. She calls their names. How could you not, when a three-year-old is, Melissa, come get me. And I'm just like, okay. But I do think that there are just certain things that they're going to have to unlearn from the pandemic. And mommy's going to eventually walk you to class. And but you're still going to be independent. I will come in with you and you can walk on your own. So yeah. Now, I will tell you that they don't call them three-agers for nothing, but I've actually lived with teenagers who require a tremendous amount of sleep. And I don't know if you've seen this with your three-year-old, but mine will get up in the morning on a school day and will brush her teeth and be like, I'm sleepy, and go back to bed, fully in the bed, put the blankets over her head. And if I leave her, go back to sleep. And I'm just like, No. But that is total teenage behavior. So I wonder to what extent. I didn't have that with my first. So this is my first experience with a kid who actually wants to go to bed. And she has actually put herself down for a nap probably two or three times, where I was just like, where is she? And I will go and look. She got in the bed under the covers, took off her socks, and went to sleep. The wanting to go back to bed. I know we'll see hyper independence, but are you also seeing some pandemic differences if you've got more than one? So we'll say the lull in summer camp from the pandemic, this was a bit of a shocker because I see all the flyers coming in and I'm just like, in my area, it's competitive, but there are tons of options. So not super competitive. So if you miss like January, I started looking in March. And so it's just like, yeah, maybe one or two of the camps that I wanted, she was not able to get into. But I think it is still early, but I think we have a lot to juggle, right, in this summer month, especially when you have school-age kids, because that's the time where you could do vacations without being penalized. And so the way, like I mapped out our summer based on we're taking vacations. I have two summer birthdays that I have to fit in there as well. And so it was like a Tetris doing the video game, trying to do my schedule. So I found, you know, we're Girl Scouts. And so Girl Scouts had some really good discounts for childcare camp. So we managed to get a week that worked with our schedule because I still have to do pickup and drop off for the little one too. So I'm not going to be spending all afternoon in the car. So I ended up getting a few weeks at Y, got the Girl Scouts camp. We got a couple of vacations built in there. We have some swim stuff. We ended up doing hodgepodge. We use the Y, we use Girl Scouts, and then we use like our national park system here in Virginia to see what they had to offer as well, just to try to give her different experiences throughout the summer. So that's how we approached it. But the price range was running between $160 for the Girl Scout camps all the way up to $285 for some of the more intricate Y-based camps. So there was some topic that I wanted to bring up. Something that's been coming up in our space is the concept of making changes and when's the right time. And so some of the questions that have been coming up, Hera, have been, do I buy a bigger car in anticipation of having a baby? Do I buy a house? Do I change jobs? Do I buy it now? Or do I wait until I see what the impact is of an extra person in my life? And so what might be the right time to do some of these things? We've hit a lot of these intersections in our lives and our careers and things of that nature. And I think I've always been money conscious when it came to major purchases. So I don't like to do things in haste. And I think that sometimes when we look at trying to conceive and we look at being a parent, we think in terms of the ideals. And children and trying to conceive are the X factors, right? I never anticipated my journey to my second being a 3-year journey. And so that meant that I really couldn't do anything. Funds were pretty much tied up until I figured out how this was all going to play out. And so when it came time to upgrading from an apartment into a house, I couldn't do anything. And then based on the child that I had, I still couldn't do anything. We stayed at the apartment until my baby was about 2. And that gave me a bit more perspective on what I wanted, what I needed, and when I should move. Having that patience to let it all unfold in front of you so that you're making an informed and clear-headed decision, because you might have a child who's special needs and you need a wheelchair ramp. You might need that minivan with the open sliding door because you've got a ramp. You just don't know. But we think so much in terms of ideals. Now, I am so glad that I had the age spacing that I have because it gave me an opportunity to see schools. So what did I want? What did I need in terms of school options? And then that helped me to figure out where I wanted to buy a home, because most people will buy a home. And if you don't have the need to worry about schools or think of how you want to parent, you could be buying something and then you're stuck with it for a good 10 years and you can't just get out of a house as quickly as you can get into one. And so having the space to have that perspective, I think is going to help. And then I was talking to Hera about a situation that came up with my house. You don't know what repairs you might need or how you might like to customize your living space. And so I ended up the year with a bit of surplus funds. And I would encourage SMCs that if you have that chunk of money, like most people will say, I've got the down payment for a house, park that money, set it aside. It's not going to go anywhere. It's allocated for the house. But should something else come up? So I had some money set aside to pay down debt. And so I was going to pay down debt. That was my single-minded focus. But then I needed to get my fence replaced. And luckily I had that money and that perspective to get the fence replaced and not take on more debt. So I was able to move quickly when I needed to. Yes, strollers did nothing for me. Strollers were pretty much something to hang clothes on. I rarely use strollers because by the time those babies can walk, they were walking. I would definitely say one of the key core competencies of an SMC is patience, right? And so when we think, we also see this come up, like, how should I make career moves, right? Should I make career moves while trying to conceive, before I have a baby, after I have a baby? And again, you just don't know. And so again, I go back to, I don't like to make big changes in haste. And so for me, I waited until I saw who my kid was, who I became as an SMC before I decided to make the moves that I made career-wise. Because when you're trying, that's also a critical stage where you don't know what's going to happen. And it's just like, do I stay? Do I go? What happens to my health insurance? Because you don't want to upturn that apple cart either and find out, oops, your doctor's not covered and you're about to sign up for a retrieval and things like that. Thank you all for your support and your continuing to listen and participate in our community and our spaces. We see you and we thank you.
Well, Pod, thank you so much for taking the time to listen. If you like what you've heard, please share this podcast with your girlfriends, and I'd love to hear your thoughts about the topics covered in this episode. So email me at mochasmc@gmail.com. If you found value in the topics covered, consider making a donation using the link in the show notes below. Till next time, Pod. Bye now.